I am up and running, yes, sir. Okay. So it's now 6:01. There we go. And we will call to order the March 2nd, 2023 Public Safety Committee meeting. Present is myself, Chief Jensen, Marlis, our note taker, Alderman Soling, and Alderman Merrick. Are there any citizen comments? No? No one here? I don't see anyone else on Zoom. No? Okay. And then we'll move on to the minutes for correction or approval. Anyone have any corrections, deletions, additions that they want to make to the minutes from the November meeting? No? Okay. We'll accept those as presented. Then we move on to new business, PS 2023-1, monthly report review for October through December 2022.
All right. So if it's okay with you guys tell me. I've got the three copies of the monthly reports, but later on in the meeting, we're going to go over the annual report, which kind of covers the statistics for the entire year as compared to the monthly. So I can go through these very quickly. We can go over the annual report. I can go over them in detail. You tell me what you would like, and I will do it.
You just want to merge it into the annual report?
I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do.
Sounds good.
We'll move on to PS 2023-2, adjudication reports for November 2022 through February 2023.
So there are several items on here. Most of them are your common ones that we're always dealing with. I'm just going to go by date. I've marked some of them, and if you have questions on any of the ones that we're going over, please let me know. So on the docket of 11/21/22, we had a disorderly conduct. That was a fight that occurred at Wings. They did not want to press charges for battery, but the bar wanted to sign complaints for disorderly conduct, and we chose to go the route of an ordinance ticket. So that's not something we commonly see. On 11/28/22, we have a rabies inoculation came from a dog bite call. So that's why that was written. I think that's the first one I've seen at least in a year, maybe even two. Scrolling through, going to 1/4/23, we had a off-street parking on 451 Honeysuckle. It was a complaint that we received, car vehicle parked in the yard, complaint, and so obviously we've got a zero tolerance policy when it comes to the address with the number of violations that we've had. Jumping to 1/18/23, we have alcohol sale to minors. So we did an alcohol sting back in there, and we had three violations throughout the city. We've already met with all of the liquor license holders, managers. They've already met with the liquor commission, which is John, and gone through, and they received punishment through that. So all three of the people that sold pled liable, and they paid their $75. On 1/23/23, we also did a tobacco sale, and we had five violations total. If you'll see between 1/23/23 and 2/6/23, there's five total tickets for, three for tobacco, and we had cannabis violations on 2/6/23, so I was jumping ahead. We had three violations and they also pled liable and paid their fine. And I think that is it for ordinances, unless you guys have any questions on anything that's uncommon you want further details on.
I have nothing.
Was the alcohol one, is that why they did the signs up at Jewel?
Yes. So, kind of an interesting story. We were in there shopping early Saturday morning. My wife and I was like 7, and it's all blocked off. The manager is there, and my wife, not knowing because I didn't communicate, said, "You guys are remodeling?" And the one girl said, "No, we sold alcohol to somebody we shouldn't have sold to." And then, of course, the rest of the weekend, I'm getting calls from people like, "What did Jewel do?" And I'm like, "We do alcohol stings all over town, that sort of thing." So,
yeah. You're no different than anybody else.
Nope, not at all. That's it on that one.
Then we'll move on to PS 2023-3, Association for Individual Development Services.
And can I combine that with 04, the Illinois State Police Services?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. So what we have is in our new building, we have got some room where we are looking to bring in some services that will not only assist our police department, but provide additional services to the residents of the city. So the first one is AID. AID has a contract with the state of Illinois. They received a grant for well over $1 million to provide the emergency crisis response team. So when there's mental health calls for service and it's an emergency, but it's not a police emergency, they will dispatch through the 988 or CESA, they will dispatch the mobile crisis response team to handle those calls for service. Under the new law, we can't respond. It's against the law for us to respond. So AID has that contract. They have these teams. They respond. And we have seen some really good luck with that, or really, you know, really good calls with that. And so it's been very successful. Part of what we're trying to do with AID now is AID went to the 708 board for Kendall County, received money from the 708 board to provide social work services for the police departments in the county that wanted it. There was only three agencies that wanted it. It was us, Oswego, and Montgomery. So AID is providing 8 hours total in each police agency for the remainder of the year. So we're giving them an office in our new facility. And right now they're in the basement of the PD here, but in the new place they'll be in the in an office. And they will assist officers and provide services to families of domestic violence, as an example. They will provide immediate services to them, like the next day they will call. If we have a minor that's a runaway or a lockout from the parents locking the child out, we are able to bring the family here, turn it over to AID. AID can provide services to them in a wide variety of ways. If we have death notifications there, they can do that as well. Now, we prefer to use a chaplain program that we have. However, they're able to provide those services as well. If we have something where an officer went and saw something just you shouldn't see, and maybe just talking the officer through certain things, they're able to do that. So it's a wide variety of mental health services that we're bringing into our PD at no cost to our city. So right now it's a grant through 708 that covers that. The second phase is the Illinois State Police. So we were notified beginning of, I believe it was February, the Illinois State Police have, they have redone their district or their zones, okay, right? We used to be in District 5, which covered Kendall County, Grundy County, Will County. Because they have redone all of that with the goal of trying to bring more services to Cook County and Chicago and then down south in East St. Louis, they are basically taking resources from Kendall County and moving it all up to Cook County. So with the rezoning, we are now involved, instead of three counties, we have six counties that we are in now, one being Cook County. So our goal, because we're not going to see troopers here, we didn't see a ton before because they were always so short-staffed, but now we'll hardly ever see them. So what our goal has been is to, when they have detectives that normally were stationed in Joliet, when they have cases out this way, we are giving them an office in our detective area to provide them workspace for traveling detectives for ISP, so that they're working in our building. If we need anything, we've got immediate access to them. Any resources, we've got access to it. It's a place for them to work, and our goal is to bring kind of them to us so that we can help them if they need something out in this area, and vice versa. Can't say we call the state police for a lot of stuff, but when you call, you need it. And this is a way of kind of bringing resources in that would hopefully be a little bit more responsive if we needed it, if that makes sense. So, questions on that?
Do you expect someone to be in the office?
So we're hoping, I'm being told for sure 2 days a week, okay. Possibly 3 days a week. Okay. So they will have full access to our building, swipe card. I'm going to give them a locker in the building. One of the detectives lives in Batavia. One lives in North Aurora. So instead of driving all the way to Cook County, they can drive to our facility and utilize, you know, they won't have access to our computer network, but they'll have a puck that they can log into their systems and do whatever they need to do.
Are they closing down the satellite offices of the state police? Like the one by Stateville? There's one in LaSalle County, right?
So 17's in LaSalle County. Yeah. I'm not sure what zone that would be. We're going to be called Area 3.
Okay.
I'm not sure what LaSalle County is going to be called. Joliet District 5, which is the one closer to Stateville, they are going to have some support personnel in there, but that's it. The range will still be open. We don't use the range, but if we had to, we could. They're pretty much sending detectives all up to Cook County. And a lot of their troop are going up to... You know, their street trooper going up. So one of the troopers that I spoke to that lives in Yorkville, he has to go up to almost the line of 294, in the Illinois-Indiana line, and he lives in Yorkville. But that's his zone that he's patrolling.
90-minute commute.
But, yeah. So it's a way for us to get services.
Cooperation is good.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
Is that the guy who was on the queue?
We've got probably 6 troopers that live in town.
I was just laughing at the one on the queue because people always think somebody's there monitoring traffic. You'll see, you got people just slam on their brakes coming down the hill.
Yep. I might have done that once or twice myself.
All right. Any questions? No? I guess we'll move to PS 2023-5, the 2022 YPD Annual Report Review.
Awesome. So we did something a little different this year. We actually had 15 copies professionally printed instead of us using our printer and trying to make it look good, but you just can't make it look good like that, like this. So part of the reason we did that is it is a document that needs to be, you know, obviously saved for years, you know, as far as I'm concerned, because it provides a really good tool and information for the public, you know, for future years. So I've marked several pages in here that I'm going to go over. If you guys have any other pages that you guys want to go over, just let me know, and we'll jump to them and go from there. So I'm going to start out by the page number 6. Those are the photos I was told to use. I did have some other photos of people, but not sure how good you guys would want me to use some of those photos.
Mugshots?
Mugshots, yep. So our calls for service on page number 7 at the very top, you're going to see an increase of our, not calls for service, it should be incidents, calls for service, kind of the same thing. You know, we had an increase from 21 of 88 cases, bringing us to 13,538 in 2022. You're going to see a, you know, pretty significant increase, almost 1,000 from the year before, from 2020. You can kind of see that jump in our calls for service and in our total incidents. And we talk about in the next several pages, we talk about the department goals. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in this meeting. So I'll skip over to our professional standards report, which is page number 17. And again, I'm highlighting I guess I would look at this as the really important parts of this report. So our professional standards report, in an attempt to make sure we have been, or we are open to the public and everybody can see and we're providing all the information to the public to be transparent, we do this professional standards report. So we had a total of 6 complaints that came in. Now, I will say we probably had more than 6 complaints where, let's say we stop a car and somebody says, well, that officer was rude. Right? Well, talk to me about it. No, I just wanted you to know. We have some of those. We get some of those. What we track on here are the people that want to make a complaint. Or their complaint is big enough where we track it on what we call an informal complaint inquiry. So somebody could say, Jim Jensen was really rude to me. I want to make a complaint about it. I'm letting you know I don't want anything done. Well, we document those complaints. So we document it for a couple reasons. We want to verify whether or not it's in fact true, or we're trying to protect our officers from a complaint that may not be a real complaint, but somebody saying, we're doing something. So it's a way for us to check up on that. So we had 6 complaints filed throughout the year. One was an official internal investigation that was investigated and found to be more of a formal internal investigation that was found to be unfounded. And the other were the 5 informal public complaints or the complaint inquiries. So we take and investigate all complaints that come into the organization, whether they are true, whether they're not true, whether we know they're a false complaint, whether we know it's a true complaint, we investigate all of them. So that's the crux of that report there. Dan's already noticed the investigations on page number 19. Those actually look like our people. Nelson, maybe not so much, maybe a little bit, but it's kind of funny. You're going to see that our criminal cases received, we had 143. We closed 180 cases. The closure rate is, we had 143 coming in for 2022. We closed some 20 earlier cases than 2022. That's the difference with the 180. We had a total of 78 arrests. We had a total of 139 counts charged. And our total cases assigned for detectives, which includes criminal and non-criminal cases for adults and juveniles, we had 420. The other thing we've been tracking this year, if you notice in our monthly report when we talk, there's a column in our investigation section where you've seen zeros all the way through. Last year was our first time we started tracking how many FOID and CCL things come in, how many sex offender contacts we've had. We never tracked that before. We started tracking it last year. So we really truly get an up-to-date picture of what our detectives are doing. So if we ever look to increase our detective staffing, we're going to have some good comparative data to understand, yeah, we need to add a detective. Here's why. Jumping over to page number 22, our alcohol and tobacco compliance checks. You're going to see we did 48 checks this year as compared to 16 in 2020. That's obviously because of COVID. We did 41 in 2021. Our number of alcohol violations were 10. What we are doing to try to deal with some of those violations, we are meeting with the staff members of the businesses, and we're talking about how we perform these checks and the importance of these checks. So we give a roadmap to all the businesses. This is how we operate. This is what we do and why we do it and how we do it. Our goal is not to trick anyone. I don't send somebody in there that's 20 years old. And if there's a girl that we send in, she's not made up. There's no very, very little makeup. Their hair is not done up. They're not dressed up like they're going out that night. Our goal is not to trick business. Our goal is to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and not selling to minors. And same with guys. We don't let guys get tricked up. We don't let guys have facial hair when they go into businesses to do it. We provide the vertical ID. They have no other ID with them. And an agent or an officer undercover goes into the business first, kind of props up in a spot where he can see the interaction and is able to witness the interaction to make sure that our agent is doing everything they're supposed to be doing. So we are making this as fair as we can possibly be. I show when we come in for liquor hearings, I will show the picture of the girl at that time because for the guy, because we take pictures of them before they go out so that everybody knows. The one girl looked like she was 13 and we had 5 violations, which was crazy. Jumping over to page number 24, our Kendall County Major Crimes Task Force. We are involved in a Kendall County Major Crimes Task Force. It has detectives from Oswego, Kendall County, Montgomery, Plano, Yorkville, Plainfield, Minooka. So when there's a major crime that comes up, we're able to utilize the Major Crimes Task Force to help offset any staffing issues you may have. When you have a homicide, I've only got 3 people in our detectives division. We could not handle a homicide scene with just 3 people. This gives us the ability to have anywhere between 10 and 20 additional detectives that are all trained and certified homicide investigators to assist us with any call. So I can get 22 to 25 resources with my staff and the major crimes there within an hour to start the investigation. The quicker you start, the quicker you investigate, the better chance you have of finding the suspect or offender in the case. We had 5 call-outs last year. Two homicide investigations, one suspicious death, one shooting with multiple victims but no fatalities, and one traffic crash. So these guys are not, guys and gals, they are not called out for minor crimes. These are the what I would consider the crimes, the worst of the worst. But it gives us an invaluable resource in staffing for responding to those. The very next page, 25, is our records, kind of a breakdown of our records department and kind of in what they have done. Let's see, jumping over to our crime rate. This year, this is the last year, 2022 is the last year you're going to see our see us focusing on UCR data. We are going to be going to NIBRS data next year. So in the January monthly report, our next meeting, you guys will see a difference in the NIBRS reporting for crime rate type information. So what we've done here is we broke down part one and part two crimes. Every month we always talk about, and I always bring up, where we add in comparison to the previous year with part one crimes, which are your more severe crimes like murder, sex crimes, robbery, aggravated battery, burglary, theft, vehicle theft, and arson. If you compare us from 21 as compared to 2022, we were at 235 in 21, we're at 169 in 2022. And then the same thing for your part two crimes, which are bad crimes, but not as bad as the part one crimes. You're gonna see not quite 100, but a decrease in probably 80 plus crimes. Now I hesitate to say that this is all great police work, because as we know, crime is sometimes the crime of opportunity and different things that come up. If you look the previous year before 2021, we had our highest crime rate. Actually 2020, our crime rate was at 2,145. Our crime rate in 2022 is 785. The difference, the major difference, is the number of the fraud cases that we received. I'm sorry, the theft cases in part one, and that was the scam with
unemployment.
So you will see a difference in that next year with when we talk about NIBRS. Jumping over to page 35, this is our directed patrol details. These are the number of details and locations that we ran, the total number of hours, total violations, and total arrests in those specific areas. You're going to see Route 34 as an example. We had total hours, we had almost 1,100 hours we spent on Route 34. We had over 1,300 violations and 43 arrests. Route 47 downtown, we had 516 details, over 1,100 hours we spent, over 1,000 violations, almost 1,100 with 50 arrests. So that's a good breakdown in January through December of the areas where we are focusing, where we know we have speeding related issues. If you jumped over to the next couple pages, pages 36, 37, when we do get complaints, people call and say, hey, they're speeding up and down my street. We don't just send resources out there with especially expensive resources like officer time. We will do everything we can to determine whether or not we have a problem. Once we've identified us having a problem, then we send the dogs after them, so to speak. That's when we send the officers out to do those details. Prior to that, we'll do speed studies. We'll do the message board trailers to let people know, slow down. We send information to the HOAs to send out to the residents in that subdivision, because in a particular subdivision, let's just say McHugh, it's residents that are speeding in there, right? So our goal is not to write tickets, it's to let people know, hey man, slow down. If we have to get in to write tickets, we will, but that's the last thing we want to do, so let's work together, that sort of thing. We'll also send our CSOs out to monitor in an unmarked vehicle with radar, write down the plate, date and time. We run the plate and then we send a notice, hey, you were observed speeding on this time. You know, please slow it down. The speed limit is 30 miles an hour, as an example. Then jump ahead to our annual response to resistance, page number 41 and 42. So we track all of our response to resistance, or the common term for it is use of force. Anytime we do something that's above what is normal and customary in arresting someone, we track those incidences separately. And part of that process is making sure that we are doing everything we possibly can the right way so that we're not getting lawsuits, we're not getting sued, or we're not getting complaints because we used excessive force on someone. So part of that process, once a response to resistance or use of force is used, that individual is obviously taken into custody, taken to the sheriff's office. Then we begin our review process. So the sergeant who is working the street will interview all the officers involved and the suspect we use force on, as well as any witnesses. The interview is not to ascertain questions of guilt or innocence of the case. It's to determine, did you hear an officer tell you to stop? Did you see the police uniform? Do you believe our officers used excessive force? We're interviewing the offenders in these cases. Some of them say, well, yeah, they shouldn't have hit me. Well, did they hit you? And so you kind of ask that next leading question, was it excessive force? And that's what we kind of determine. And then that then process goes to our, so the shift sergeant reviews it, then it goes to our defensive tactics instructor for review. Did we follow our training and our policy? Then it goes to our deputy chief, and then it goes to me. So it goes through 4 to 5 levels of review after every case to make sure that we're in compliance with what statute is and what our policy is. You'll see we had 5 use of force response to resistance incidences. We had all 5 of those people were arrested. Of the 13,538 incidences and 421 arrests, we only used force, or we did not use force in 99.96% of those incidents. So of the 13,538, only 5 of those we used force on. It's broken down by substance abuse and emotional disturbance. It's also broken down by suspect injuries, officer injuries in the third chart below, and then the bottom one, we talk about weapons. On the very next page, 42, we talk about the race, we talk about age, and we talk about gender. Of the 5, 4 were male, 1 was female. The response to resistance by age, 1 of them was 13 to 19 years old, 3 were 30 to 39, 1 was 40 to 49. And then by race, 3 of the 5 were white, 1 was African American, and 1 was Hispanic. And then you have your quick facts based on the numbers. And we also have this written up in comparison to the previous 2 years. At least on page 41, the top 3 charts are 2020, 2021, and 2022. The bottom chart on page 41 is 21, 22. We didn't track that prior to. And then on page number 42, you'll see the 21 and 22 comparison. So this also includes all of our mental health calls for service, where we had, let me find it here. Where is it here? I thought I had it marked, and apparently I did not. So this would include all of our mental health calls for service. When we talk about the mental health calls for service, we had, I want to say it was 35, I could be wrong in the number. We had 35 voluntary committals and 40 involuntary committals, where we are forcing people to go get checked at the hospital for mental health. So when you, that's included in these numbers. So that really shows you the importance of and the training that we've really focused on with de-escalation and trying to work through incidents with people. The next chart on page 43 is our bias-based policing. We track every traffic stop that comes in, every traffic stop dot that comes in, every traffic stop that we do. We track by gender and we track by race. We look at that monthly. So we run the numbers of every single officer monthly. We determine how many people of Caucasian did they stop, Black, Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islander. We track that, and this is the report at the end of the year that you get. So you see that of the 4,206 stops that we did last year, 66% were Caucasian. If you compare that to our city population of Caucasian, we're 75%, but our school district population is 66%. African American, we stopped 12%. Our Yorkville population is 6%. Our school population is 8%. Native American, you can see 1%. school district, 0 stops. Hispanic, 19%. Our city population's 13, school district population 16. And the Asian Pacific Islander is 2%. City population's 4, we stop 2%. So when we get somebody that would come in and say, hey, you stopped me because I am Hispanic, we're able to look at this data and say, okay, Jim Jensen, for the last 3 years, because that's what we've been tracking it, have I been over in the Hispanic? Is there any relevant or any information that would lead us to believe that we are making or we have somebody stopping somebody because of their race? That's how we track it. That's how we try to make sure that our people are not doing that. So that's a large part, or actually I think a very important part of what we do. And the last couple pages, looking back at page 46, our training hours, the major difference from 21 to 22 is we had 3 academy spots in 2021. We account those training hours from the police academy, so that's the difference. That's 480 hours, I think. Everything after that is just kind of the cool things that our guys did in the community policing world, the lost dog world, and just the different things that we've done with a bunch of pictures of the public. So that's the annual report.
Does he have any questions for the chief?
I have
none.
Craig? Nope,
I'm good. Awesome. If you've got ideas for improvement, let us know and we will include that in next year.
I have a question.
Sure.
It was in the investigations? Yes.
Which page, bud?
Oh, I don't remember. You're going to make me look back. But specifically, I want to know, how do I get those hanging door tags for sex offenders so I can put them on my friends' houses on Halloween? Because someone did that to me before. I found one on my door.
Let's talk off the record. Maybe I can help on that.
Yes, when I worked for the state's attorney's office, I woke up one day and found one hanging on my front door.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I might be able to help with that. Off the record.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. you guys have any other questions about that? No, the report's very well done, so.
Good.
Are you going to do this every year?
Yep.
Okay.
And we've done it every year for the last couple years.
Right, but I mean the...
It just looks so much better.
Right. Are they going to be accessible for, like, if someone wants a copy of it, the public?
So, 15 copies cost me $440.
Ooh.
So, I would say no.
Okay.
However, we put this up on our website.
Okay.
So, all of our annual reports, it's up there, so somebody, right. People definitely have access to it, just not in printed form.
But this exact one is up on the website, we can find.
Correct.
Okay, good. That's
yeah, after tonight, it will be, because I needed to go through
the list. That's good. As long as this is available to everyone.
I
think that's good. So, then I guess we'll move on to item number 6, PS 2023-6, the annual goal review.
So this is for 2022. Our goal for 2022 was really focusing on making sure that everything we do was done with excellence. In my opinion, in our command staff's opinion, I will tell you, in our department's opinion, don't do anything unless you're going to do it right. And that's kind of the mantra that we have really tried to focus on in 2022. So if you look at the back part where it talks about measures of success in our 2022 goals, I'm going to go over a few things and what we've tried to do. So in the very beginning with this goal, we've done command staff check-ins. During each meeting, we talk about individuals' performances. We talk about team performances. And we review both challenges and successes within the organization at every single command staff meeting. So we know as a command staff what is going on. And when we see or hear or watch things that are good, you note it. And when we can make improvement, you note it. Our supervisor meetings, every month we have sergeant's meetings. At every single sergeant's meeting, we talk about staff performance. We talk about issues that we may be having. We talk about problems that in implementation and communication plans with our officers. The most important role in this organization is not the chief, not the command staff, it's the sergeants. The sergeants are the ones that have to sell what we are wanting our people to do. Sometimes it's not. I mean, it's difficult, and we know the guys aren't going to like it. And sometimes they have to sell to them the good things that we want to do. The patrol officers are the ones on the street in the day-to-day dealing with people. It's my name on the door, but they're the ones dealing with 99% of the people in this town. So we got to make sure we do things right. So our sergeant's job is to make sure we track and follow through and watch what our people are doing to make sure they're doing the things that we're asking them to do the right way. Department complaint reviews, we've already kind of talked about that with our internal complaint system. But we do track those. We talk about those. Every single command meeting that we have every Tuesday at 1 p.m., we talk about complaints that have come in. Do we have any outstanding? Do we have any complaints? Do we have any outstanding complaints? Are they founded or unfounded? Or are we finding that, yes, it happened, but it's more of a policy situation where we need to change things? So we talk about all the complaints. Response to resistance reviews, we just talked about that. We track our response to resistance. We talk a little bit more about that at the very end. We talk about our early warning system. Our incident debriefs, here's the numbers, here's where I had it. Response to resistance, remember I didn't have the right numbers? We arrested 421 people, responded to 101 mental health calls for service, 65 voluntary, involuntary committals. So with 5 response to resistance, which I think is pretty awesome. Our incident debriefs, when we have a bigger incident, something that again is out of the ordinary, we debrief those. Our command staff will debrief with the sergeant will debrief with the team. If we can bring everybody together to debrief, that's what we do to make sure that what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. And then it goes on to our daily pass-on audits and our social media. You guys get pass-on. You guys are seeing the calls for service that we have. Our command staff, and what I've challenged Ray, Garrett, and Pat with, is when you see something on pass-on that looks like it could be a problem, could be a future problem, or could lead to a political type issue, we have to jump on that right away. An example would be a missing person. Somebody who goes reported or gets reported missing at 8 o'clock tonight, as an example, but tomorrow morning they're not found, but night shift is gone and day shift has come in. We need to make sure that we see that so that that doesn't fall by the wayside, that we don't follow up on that case, right? Our job is to make sure we catch that. So during our daily pass-on audits, you know, we look at that stuff. Also, social media. We get complaints on social media. We respond to those complaints. So long as it's not a BS complaint, somebody from, I don't know, Detroit complaining about police, and they just happen to be complainers on our police website, which we get. So we do audits pretty much. Well, I can tell you, I don't look at it daily, but I'm for sure on there every other day looking at social media to see what, you know, what's the public perception of things. And finally, our early warning system. This would be one of the goals that we have integrated into policy in 2022, but we enacted our early warning system frontline program in the beginning of 2023. So this took a little while to do. What the goal of our early warning system is, and I'm gonna, if it's okay, Dan, I'm gonna jump right into our 2023 annual goal.
Absolutely.
Because it really kind of leads into that. So our 2023 department goal, we're focusing on employee wellness, advancement, and competency-based decision-making. So when I say wellness, we've had a goal before about wellness. Our frontline system is the goal that focuses, or is the program that focuses on things going on within the organization to help us as supervisors and command staff identify the early warning signs of an officer going down the road of trouble, if that makes sense. So I was taught early in my career, Dan, you probably heard this, there are 3 things that get cops fired, okay? There's more than 3, but the 3 primary. Women, money, drugs, and alcohol. Okay? So, as an example, let's just say we have an officer, and we don't, this is just an example, let's just say we have an officer that is having marital issues, but we don't know about it. and that officer is lashing out at work. That officer's received a couple complaints for being rude, maybe showing up late for work two or three times over a two-month period of time, was involved in a use of force that may be a little questionable, right? All those are signs that something is going on with that person. So that before that person does something to get himself fired, ends up in jail and charged criminally, or gets our city sued, we are trying to catch that before it gets to that level. So on a monthly, and I'm going to go over how we do it, but we are tracking that stuff. And it's not to get anybody in trouble. It's exactly the opposite of that. We need to be able to protect our people sometimes from themselves. And so if we can catch a problem, maybe a substance abuse problem, alcohol, that this person's going through, or marital issues, we catch it before it becomes an issue, we get that person help. And that's our goal. We're in a profession that leads to high substance abuse, high divorce, high suicide. Those are three things that affect cops all over this country because of what they see, what they have to deal with. The old machoism of what cops are supposed to be as compared to what it really should be. We're trying to catch that before it becomes an issue. So that's really the focus on the wellness side of things. That's how we track it with Frontline. We also talk about advancement. This last year, when we had a voluntary demotion of Bear, when he wanted to go back down to sergeant, you know, the commander role, it's an important role, and it's an administrative role, and I can't just pull an officer on the street who has no administrative ability whatsoever and put them in that role. They speak for me to you guys sometimes, and so it has to be the right person that understands the mission, understands the organization, understands our people are our most important part of this organization. So Pat McMahon, he's a good fit. He really is. He's doing a nice job. But if I go below Pat or after Pat, our well is not deep. And so our job is to get our well deep. My goal for this is when I retire, John and you guys are going to have such a hard decision of picking internally that next chief, because you have two deputy chiefs that are fantastic, a commander that's fantastic. And when they get promoted, they're able to bring their next command staff up so that the service level doesn't lower. The service level stays high and will actually go higher. So that's the second part of this. We're working on advancement. And finally, competency-based decision-making. Are we providing our officers and our sergeants and command staff the training that they need, the knowledge and know-how that they need to do their job, right? We have a ton of CIT, you know, crisis intervention calls for service. Do our people have the training? Have we gotten them the training? And so we're working on different tracks for them to look to give them the training that they need. Let me back up just a little bit. The advancement is not just promotional advancement, it's positional advancement. We have a lot of people that want to be detectives, undercover narcotics, our criminal intelligence team, school resource officers, canine officers. We don't have a canine, but so we're providing them different advancement tracks in each of those areas as well. So how are we doing this? We're doing it with bi-weekly interviews with our staff. So as an example, our sergeants meet individually with each one of their team members every other week. They talk about those three things, okay? Our command staff, our deputy chief and commander meet with the four sergeants. What the commander has two, the deputy chief has two. They meet with them biweekly. I meet with our two deputy chiefs and our commander every other week. And these are the only things we talk about during that meeting that could last 15 minutes, it could last 3 hours. And we track those meetings and we're documenting what is in there to a point, because everything's FOIA-able, we have to be careful documenting certain things, but we're trying to track what we're doing to make sure that people are receiving what they need to receive from us. So it's kind of a succession plan, in essence, but it's getting people ready, and it's also making sure we're taking care of our people. So that's our 2023 goal and kind of the finish up of our 2022 goal.
Any questions? Without getting too specific, have you had to utilize some of those the pews?
We have not placed anyone on a PIP yet.
Okay.
So the frontline system that we have, it's a computer system that tracks a lot of different stuff. So every response to resistance, and maybe one of the next meetings I'll bring it up and I'll show you guys what it looks like. It tracks every response to resistance and breaks down multiple aspects of that. It tracks complaints. It tracks positive calls, positive letters. It tracks pursuits. It tracks all of that, and then it puts it into a format where we can say, let's say over a period of time, let's say over like a 2-month period of time, I can pull up your name, and you could have, let's just say, 5 points. You're involved in a pursuit, you're involved in a response to resistance, and you have 3 complaints. Once you hit a certain number, that red flags it, so that we obviously start looking deeper into it. That's what our sergeant should be looking at twice a month, that frontline system, to identify things that would be concerning. Knock on wood, we haven't had it yet.
Good.
So,
but it's better to be proactive than reactive.
You have to be.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
It's just too important not to be today.
No, I agree.
So,
any other questions follow up with that? No? Very good, Chief.
Very well put together.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Old business? I have a question about old business.
What do you got?
Have you had any information that resulted in any type of arrests, investigative leads from license plate readers?
No.
Okay.
We have not actively looked.
Okay.
We do an audit, I think, every other month.
Yeah.
I think we do audits.
Nothing.
Zero. So, the only 4 people that have access to that are the 4 command staff and our detective sergeant.
Yeah.
They know it has to be a serious felony to utilize it, or they have to have my permission if it's not a serious felony to use it.
Or even readers, like if you guys are working on something where the sheriff's office reached out to you and said, hey, our reader just got a hit on this plate, and I know that they're a suspect in a Yorkville investigation.
Yes. Nothing. We haven't gotten any of that.
Okay.
We did have a case where the vehicle was probably going to be leaving north on 47. We don't have an LPR on 47, so it wouldn't have been any good. But, and we have, knock on wood again, we haven't had a major case in quite a while. But if we did have a major case, yeah, we could reach out to Flock, enter into the system and say, okay, we're looking for a white Chevy Caprice, Illinois plate between this date and this time that could be traveling east. So they could look at all LPRs.
Straight down 34.
Straight down Route 34. They could do it all the way through Aurora, through Naperville. So we, in the LPR system, you actually have access to anybody in the state who has LPRs. So you could put in a plate and you could get hits on any LPR that picked up that plate.
Anywhere in the state.
Anywhere in the state.
Good.
It's in talking to the guy, because the guy from Flock has been all over me about this. And I'm like, listen, guy, I get what you're saying, but our city is not going to do this. And it's not the game changer that you're telling me it's going to be, right? Does it do some good things? Yeah, right? And that's why we have access on serious crimes, because we want to have the ability. Future technology, they're talking about putting, and they're actually in the process, they've got agencies that are doing this as test sites, drones. They have drones set up in different parts of town, so when a domestic comes out, that drone goes to that site, starts videoing so the officers can see via live feed in their squad car, the video of anybody that could be outside waiting to
ambush.
Yeah. Right? That's where this stuff is going. It is crazy, but that's where it's going.
Brother.
Old business? one more thing, since you brought it up and kind of talked about drones. We had our first drone thing that was awesome. We had a domestic where we responded.
The body heat.
The body
heat. Yeah, that was phenomenal.
I sent that out to you guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. I mean, the guy took off. We sent up the drone, found the guy within minutes. And
hiding in the bushes.
Hiding in the bushes, yep. And it was totally pitch black at night. Yeah. It was really cool. So
I thought that was really cool.
I thought so, too.
It's better than the dog. You know,
oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Dog's not gonna. The drone's not gonna bite you and get me sued.
Right. Oh no.
You know. So.
And then you guys have live feed.
So not yet, but in the future, those drones will do that too.
If they might.
They'll bite.
You never know.
No, they're just gonna drop ordnance. You know. Yeah.
Shoot like a stun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have that drone out.
Armed with the bowler wrap.
Yeah. We have that drone out every shift. We've got 6 drone operators. We probably have the most in the county. It's like $250 to take it. A test is not easy. I mean, you're certified through the FAA, but it's out every shift. And if somebody takes off and we don't have one, well, it's at the PD because people aren't certified to fly, so they can. So, but we have on-call people again.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Still photos of them.
Oh, yeah, just awesome.
Lying. You can see the officers too,
yeah.
Like around him,
yep.
as they were taking the pictures.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Technology with the drones is just...
It's crazy, isn't it?
We've got it set up now where we can go to our GIS system, program it to our drone, and it'll go up there, and it'll follow a sewer line.
Yeah.
And just camera the whole thing.
So we had Eric that wanted us to fly a creek for a dam in the creek, and we did it. We were able to find the dam in the creek, so his staff didn't have to walk all the way down and check it. We were able to find it. So, yeah, that GIS part, they do that at pipelines now.
Yeah.
You know, they'll send a drone all the way. It's just, wow, it's crazy. So,
any additional business?
Other than they continue to sing the praises of Officer Goldsmith and his interaction with the students and the staff at the schools. So, he's mentioned in just about every board that I'm on.
Really?
He's really liked very well.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's one of the best SROs I've seen. So he's good.
Greg? Anything else? No? Well, with that, we will adjourn at 6:53.